You'd mentioned last hour when we were chatting about evidence or witnesses, and you mentioned police officers and fire investigators, which I find to be very credible people, obviously. Tell me some stories about that.
Sure. Well, the one that comes to mind, certainly, and I do find police officers, psychiatrists, and clergy are the ones who run into this most frequently. The infamous Bridgeport poltergeist case of 1974, which I talk about in my book, Faces Out the Window. And essentially, what the background of this was, I was a seminary student at that time, of course, and I was it was Thanksgiving vacation, or I thought it was going to be, and I was on my way down to have dinner with some friends of mine who were involved in this this subject, and the phone rang, and this case was just breaking in the city of Bridgeport, about 10 miles away, and you had an old bungalow house, very small, with a family of three, a middle-aged couple who had adopted a child who seemed to be the center of the phenomena, a little girl. And the house was upside, it was just unbelievably upside down. It started with some pounding on the walls, as these things always do, and today I believe these are parasites, and the stronger they get from creating fear and all this stuff, the more they can do. And by the time we got there, pictures had been ripped off the wall, the clothes were taken out of drawers, thrown on the floor by this invisible thing. And one of the many things that several police officers and I and fire officials from the Bridgeport Fire Department saw were a refrigerator pick itself up, turn itself around, and put itself back down on the floor. The thing weighed about 300 pounds. There were also flying objects that were hitting us, pictures falling off the wall, this kind of thing. Everything was moving in this place. One of the jobs that I had was to take care of the little girl who was 10 and make sure she wasn't doing any of this stuff. She was highly imaginative, but I saw over a three-day period that she wasn't doing any of this stuff. At one point, I was there was a policeman present at this as well. I was standing in back of her chair at the kitchen table, and something lifted up her chair, and I grabbed it and literally pushed it back down again, and it felt as though something was letting go of this chair. I got the impression that there were four different entities in this house. Now, again, at this period, I was still very much uncertain about what was actually happening here, and I hadn't developed these theories about parasites and the multiverse and all this stuff. But these are just impressions that I got. At another point in this house, there was a reporter from the Bridgeport Post, several neighbors, and the family and me in the living room, and all of a sudden I felt four entities arriving, is the best way I can put it, through this little girl's room in this tiny house, and then in the kitchen, and then coming up the hallway to where we were sitting. Everyone became frightened. I put the little girl behind me, and one of them, and you could almost see a gauzy substance kind of come in, and it sort of stood in front of me and got around me and threw the little girl across the room. As I was standing there, I made the mistake, and this is one of the first cases where I realized that you have to remain calm. You cannot feed these things any more than they already have been. I became angry. And the thing got stronger and stronger and stronger. Finally, I pulled everybody out of the house. Fortunately, the police had cordoned off the street. This is Lindley Street in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And the people had gathered up, according to the police, about 10,000 people had gathered outside this place. Fortunately, they cordoned off the street. When we went out, we weren't mobbed by anybody. When my friends came back into the city, we all went into the house and things had calmed down. And some guy on the radio was speculating why we had left the house. But this is just some of the things that had occurred in this case. At one point, one of my friends, and I'm talking about Lorraine Warren here, she's very well known, particularly in the East Coast.
Oh, sure. And, of course, her husband, Ed, has passed on now.
Yes, I just found that out. We actually digress a bit. In my salad days, I worked very closely with them. They had read something I had written and got in touch with me, and we became like family. We were very, a lot of happy memories of them. Although in 78, I kind of was kind of moving on in my own direction, and I didn't really like some of the things that were happening, and I had a lot of happy memories of them. But in any case, this is who I was working with, and Lorraine was sitting there at the table, and there was a police officer there, and me and Ed, and a burn, a second-degree burn with the blister and all, appeared on her hand. And nobody was smoking, nobody was doing anything, and she just went, ooh. And there it was. I saw the blister start to grow, and Ed was going to pull her out of the house saying, spontaneous human combustion could happen in here. He didn't want it to happen to his wife, certainly. But she refused to leave. And, again, these are just some of the things that occurred in this circus, this house. And the whole thing kind of degenerated. People may remember this case. It was in the paper, media all over the place.
Yeah.
And it was one of these things where it sort of degenerated into chaos. The press was given sort of a free hand, something I never allow today. And they, the police eventually just came in and just shut the whole thing down while the Warrens and I were out of the house and declared forthwith that the little girl had done it. And I first heard this on WCBS in New York when I was driving my car to go back up to my house simply to take a shower and get something to eat. And we'd been we promised the lady of the house that we'd be back that afternoon to sort of, and she was hugged me and the whole thing. And I went back not knowing what was going on, and the cops threw me off the property because this had degenerated into, it was out of control. And Ed and I kind of, you know, fought with them in the press for a few weeks, and it just, I don't know, just... I really don't know for sure what occurred. I understand the girl, who'd now be in her 40s, lives in California, and I hope that when I'm out there sometime speaking, she'll turn up in one of my audiences. I'd love to see her. But again, I there were all sorts of stories circulating. One was that the man had to sink their Christmas tree in concrete that year because it kept moving around the house. The place, of course, eventually was sold, and it's, I believe the house is still there, but there are rumors that... whatever it was, followed the girl to the Fairfield Hills Psychiatric Hospital, State Hospital, which mercifully now is closed, but things were occurring there. And I can testify to that because I've been in hospitals in the presence of hospital staff when I was a grad student, and paranormal events occasionally would occur, and so that could have happened there. So what happened eventually, I don't know, but those are some of the weird things that I saw in that house, and that is not the worst poltergeist case I ever experienced.
Oh, so the worst did what? Was it dangerous?
Yeah, you know, people say the poltergeist can't or won't hurt you. I don't know if that's entirely true because I've had my share of battle scars. In this Bridgeport house, for example, I was standing in the kitchen with the little girl and the people were there. And again, this police officer was sitting at the table, same night as the burn. And there were the flowers on top of a television set, floor model television set, were moving. And Mr. Gooden, the fellow in the house, said that that means that television's going to go over. So I put my hand in the back, very, very cold feeling around these flowers that were moving in the back of the TV. All of a sudden, the thing just went over in such a way that why it wasn't smashed to smithereens, I don't know. Again, I may today cite some multiversal factors there. But it knocked the girl and I both across the room, and I had a real gash in my leg. Something similar had happened earlier on the first day of the case, and Mrs. Gooden's toe had been broken. So these things are not necessarily nice. Whether these were intentional injuries, I don't know, but there was one case 4 years later in New Haven, Connecticut, where this huge leather armchair was literally flung at me, and had the woman not screamed and I hadn't ducked, this conversation might not be taking place.